So today I am going to end up having the first guest on my podcast after really launching it back, which I'm really excited about. And I am going to have the new Grace Cockatoo. That's is
It
that
just sounds so weird.
exciting for you? But yeah, Grace, I'll get you to start by telling me a bit about yourself and kind of the season of life that you're in at the moment now.
Yeah, so I'm Grace, and I'm a late diagnosed autistic and ADHD mum. So I got diagnosed last year, right after I gave birth to my second daughter. So I got two daughters. And yeah, that's basically right now. That's just been my whole journey. Like, I feel like once you're diagnosed, it's like your life just can like starts again. Like you're like this whole new person. So yeah, I just like, yeah, my whole life just revolves around that. And all my friends, I'm sure they love hearing me talk about it the whole time. I've already diagnosed them all too.
I love that. So how old are your girls? How old are you? And
So I'm 27 and Lena, my first daughter, is 3, and then Marlo is 10 months old, I think. I'm pretty sure.
somewhere in there.
I'm pretty sure she's 10 months old.
Okay, awesome. And so you're located up in Queensland as well.
So I moved when Lena was 6 weeks old for Nakaya, my husband's work, from Victoria. So that was a journey. But I love change. So I was like, I didn't think of it at the time. And I was like, yeah, take the job, let's move. And then when I was here, it was a bit of a, what did I do? But I'm glad I did, because now, like, we did go back to Geelong recently. And I was like, I could move back, but like, our life here is just like exactly what we want. So it's silly too.
And what did you do prior to becoming a mum?
I started, well, I was a vintage clothes buyer, and I used to travel to America and buy vintage clothes. And then I was also the store manager and did like all the photography and all the online stuff. And then I kind of got to this point where I just felt a bit like stuck. And I was like, you know what? I think I need a change. But then I also didn't like, I loved my job, so I didn't want to just leave for anything. And then it's funny because there's a store in Geelong called Our Satellite Hearts, and I've like gone there since they've opened, and I kind of become friends with Hales then. And she messaged me randomly and was like, hey, do you need work? And I don't, but I'll take it. But then yeah, I ended up working in Our Satellite Hearts, which is like a new age crystal store, and they sell like tarot cards, crystals, a bit of everything, kind of.
And so was, I guess, the spirituality side of things and crystals and all that, was that already involved within your life or like something that was present for you or new to you at that point?
So it was definitely already present. That's how she knew me, because I was addicted to buying stuff. I was definitely on that spiritual journey. But so at like 18, I like went through a phase where, yeah, everything like kind of fell apart. And it was like, now I look back, it was just like complete burnout, because I finished school, started uni, and like my whole routine was changed. But then I went on medication, and I was like, you know what? I feel like I love, like, medication is great because it does help with things, but I knew it wasn't like the end of it, and I needed to do something else. So that's when I started like my spiritual journey. And yeah, I just kind of like wanted to dive deeper on what was going on and why I was the way I was, which I didn't really figure out why I was the way I was until like 2 years ago. But
Okay, beautiful. And then so going into, I guess, your diagnosis and coming or starting into that, was it motherhood that kind of like presented that for you? How did you come to that position of maybe even starting that journey of getting diagnosed?
So when I became a mum, like, things definitely changed. Like, I just felt, but I feel like a lot of mums are the same. Like, you just get to a point where you're just like, shit, I'm not coping. Like, when you're a new mum, it's not easy. But then also I was on TikTok, and which I think is a lot of people these days, I was scrolling and I was like, what the hell? Like, I didn't know other people thought like this. Like, I thought that was just me. Like, and then yeah, I was like, I think I've got ADHD. And then like I was stuck on that, and I was obviously hyper focused on figuring out what's going on. And then yeah, I ended up getting diagnosed, but I think it was like because when I became a mum, I couldn't do the same things that I did beforehand. So like before, I would just like lay in bed for as long as I need, or if like I didn't want to do something, I would just not do it. But then when you're a mum, like you kind of have to. You've got another kid, you got to look after or take out or like keep life going, whereas you can't put it on pause. So yeah, definitely brought it out a lot more.
And the like, sorry for me. So I definitely have suspicions that I'm pretty much definitely have ADHD, but
Yeah, I can
I,
tell you do, but I know.
yeah.
You're always doing something.
But I feel like the hardest thing within it, I think, is like having so many things to do and like the overwhelm of it that it's like, and especially I think in your home as well with the kids, that then it's just like all of that consuming, like it's like your brain is constantly going, we need to do all of this, but how do we do this?
Yeah, which
How do we
sometimes it's
start?
like,
And then
yeah, and sometimes it's like can be the easiest things, but it's like because you've got it all in your head, you just can't execute it. It's just like when I remember when I saw my psych, like the psychiatrist, I told her how I just feel like this, even when I didn't have something to do, I always felt like there was something I had to do. Like I'm missing something. I've got to be doing something. What is it? Like, what have I forgot? But then when I started taking my medication, that it was crazy that that just like went. Now, not so much because the meds don't really work anymore, which is like another story. Yeah, so I was like, this is, I can't believe that you can just like I could just sit in the present moment. Like I could play with Lena and just enjoy playing with Lena instead of being like, oh, sorry, I just gotta quickly do this. We're gonna do this. We're gonna do this.
It's such a different transition to that. And so then, like, I guess, yeah, when you first took them or the medication, what was your experience and your, I guess, kind of thought process and coming around to understanding it all?
So like at the start, I remember before I got diagnosed, I was saying to my friends, I was like, you know what? I don't even think I need to go get diagnosed. I was like, I don't need it, I don't think. And then I had like a really shit week, like the week before. And I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna do it because then at least like I know what it will be like. And then I took the meds, and to be honest, it wasn't like a like some people say it's like this drastic thing, but like the only like, yes, I didn't have like five different songs playing all the time in my head or like this
Kind of like
constant.
one voice, you're condensed to almost a lot.
I could think, or I could just like sit on the couch and just do like nothing, and it was nice. But yeah, then after a while, it kind of, I've now started to realize that the reason why is like my cycle as well. So like if I'm like, is it the, what's the, it's got a name, I don't know the name, like after your period and when you're ovulating, that too.
Oh, so like, yeah, you're
Luke.
the names
Yeah,
always
what?
confuse me. I'm like, there's four, but we should
Yeah, I
know, but
know,
maybe not.
there
That's fine.
is.
That's another thing on the list.
That's a whole, like, maybe you can get that on your podcast. Teach me about that. But yeah, I've realized that is like my peak time of when it really works. And then like the week before my period, it's almost like non-existent. So then I'm like, but also when I don't take my meds, I already feel good at that time. So it's like, I don't know what to do. Do I take it? Do I not take it? So I kind of just, I do pick and choose, which my psych did say I could do, which is like the good thing. But then I know some people that have ADHD, like they really do need it. Which
It's that
luckily
more consistent.
mine's obviously not to that extent.
And so when, I guess, when you look back at your childhood or your teenage years, are there maybe things as well that, like, with your personality or behaviors that maybe make more sense to you or felt more validating for you, like once you had found out?
Definitely. So like I even like It's mainly like I kind of always knew I was a bit different,
yeah.
but and like I always like I really just like every as a teen everything had to be perfect, and if it wasn't, like I would melt down. And I don't know if it was more because like I knew I felt different and I didn't want other people to know that, so I had to be like I have to have this mask on and present like this cool popular girl that like has
Yeah.
her shit together,
Yeah.
and like so yeah. And then like I was a little shit when I was a teenager, so impulsivity and just like not thinking, I would just basically do yeah. I was a wild little teen. But then when I even looked like back at when I was a kid, like mum would tell me, which they never thought that this could have been why, but like I had sensory issues when it came to food. So like I'd just look at some foods and I'd actually like nearly vomit. And
Yeah.
then they took me to a diet, and now I still have like sensory issues with food. So anything that's like mushy, I can't do it. So,
Yeah. Yeah.
which is funny, like when it comes to my period as well, there's like times where it's like my safe food and it's like only going to be my safe food then.
Yeah.
But yeah, mum took me to a dietitian and they were, because I started losing weight because like I just wouldn't eat. And I feel like back then, like, you were like, no, that's your dinner and you're eating your dinner.
Yeah.
Like now I'm like, why not just have whatever you want, just eat.
Go, please eat.
Yeah, have the popcorn for dinner.
Yeah,
Yeah. But,
eat cereal, take it, whatever you want.
Yeah. Oh, it's funny because Lena's safe food is definitely Weet-Bix, and that's the same, which is funny because I also hate mushy food, but I love
Yeah, I was gonna
Weet-Bix.
say,
Yeah,
does
but
that
when I eat it, I literally push like every inch of milk out of it. Oh God. But yeah, so like looking back, there's just so many little things, and like I always, especially like I remember like when I moved here, I just always found it really hard. Like I never felt like I was fully connected with anyone, and I just thought that was like me. I was like, I don't know what it is, but I just like it was like I knew I had really good friends, but I just never felt that connection. And then once I found out I had autism, I was like, oh, okay, that's why. Because like unless I'm talking about my special interest or I know there's like you keep validating me about it, I'm not gonna know.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's hard to find those connections or like feel into those
Yeah, well,
connections
like
higher.
it's like, yeah, so I guess like neurotypical people connect over conversation, like just back and forth or like contacting each other. But like when you're neurodivergent, you don't always contact people unless you have some, I feel like
Yeah.
unless you have something to say, you're like, what am I going to talk to you about? I'm not going
Yeah.
to have small talk just cause. Like, so
Yeah. And
it's
it's like
there.
that in person stuff as well is like, that's very much for me. I'm like, I'm an in-person thing that I'm like, I know with my good friends that I'm like, if we're in person, I'm going to be completely there and fully with you. But like, if I don't reply to you for like a week, like don't take it personal. Because
Yeah, literally.
it's
You're
just
like,
my
my
brain
brain's
has
full. I can't do it.
too many tabs open. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I guess then what has probably been the hardest thing for you? Like when you did find out, did you find it more affirming or was there any like stigma attached for you, or did you feel comfortable then going, okay, well, this feels like more completing of my identity? Or
well, like I 100% knew I was ADHD, so like I'd already taken that on. I'd like openly say, yeah, I've definitely got that without the diagnosis. And so I do support work, and when I was doing like the NDIS training and stuff, I had to do one on autism. And when I was doing it, I was like, this sounds like me. I'm pretty sure. And I messaged my friends and I was like, you know what's really weird? Like I was doing the assessments and it's basically describing me. I was like, I know that ADHD and autism like overlap in many ways. So I was like, it might not be. And then I kind of just like I didn't think about it. And then when I went in and got diagnosed, yeah, it came out that I am autistic. And I knew that once I took the meds that like I'd heard before that it's like your autistic traits come out more. So at the start when I got diagnosed and I took my meds, it was just like I honestly actually kind of thought I made it because it was like this whole new person and I had no idea how to deal with it. Like my sensory processing was like through the roof. Like I couldn't even go to the shopping center because I could hear like every single little thing, and then the lights and everything. And I'd get home and I'd just basically cry in the car. I was like, what is going on? Like, why am I going to be stuck like this forever?
Yeah.
Like, is this going to be the new me? And then, which, look, it is the new me, but now I've now, like, I adapt my life to it. And I'm not feeling as, like, I was obviously just so overstimulated all the time and didn't realize. So now, like, say if I'm cooking and I've got the fan on, I just put headphones in. Like, I know, and then a kid yelling at you, it's just, like, too much.
Yeah.
So it's just, like, little things like that, or if, like, I'm feeling overwhelmed when I wake up, I'll make sure I'm wearing, like, yeah, safe clothes, or else I'll go to a shopping center, and without me realizing, my pants digging in the whole time, like, my brain's actually processing that, and then something else will set me off. And yeah, but so I've just now adapted my life, and I feel like, yeah, I definitely made the right decision, because now, like, I don't get burnt out really at all. The only times I get burnt out is if I, like, socialize too much, and it's like, not like my close friends I'm fine with, because, well, we're all neurodivergent too, so it's a lot easier. Like, we don't have to mask at all, so we can just sit around each other and just be us. But yeah, I find, like, if I go to a social event where I don't know everyone, like, yeah, that's basically just straight after that I feel burnt out.
Yeah,
which is funny, because when I was, like, going through my spiritual journey, I was like, because I got told I was an empath, so at the start I always just thought, which, like, yeah, I probably definitely am still, but I always thought that was just why I felt so, like, burnt out after social interactions. I was like, oh, I've just taken on everyone's energy and now I feel exhausted, which, yes, I have, because I've literally, like, looked at every facial expression they've done, like, monitored every single thing, and then, like, without realizing, I'm trying to, like, adapt to them.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, so but yeah,
an empath and neurodivergent, and it can be interlayered.
Yeah, which they do say, like, a lot of autistic people are empathic. Yeah, because I guess, like, you kind of, when you're not diagnosed, you kind of have to just take on everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
So what's been, I guess, in terms of then, yeah, being diagnosed, what's been the best part for you in navigating it all?
The best part would probably, I actually feel like it's helped with Lena a lot. She's not diagnosed, but, like, she's definitely autistic as well. Oh, she's definitely ADHD. Like, she's just me, a little mini me. Yeah. But the good thing is, like, now that I've learned everything about myself, I see the traits in Lena, and it's made me come more patient with her. And it, like, helps with, like, especially, like, say, would be even, like, sometimes if we're with family for too long, she then gets to a point where you would think she's having a tantrum, but I can tell she's having a meltdown. Yeah. And I just know it's like, okay, we just need to go home. We just need to watch TV, like, just, yeah, just relax. And where it was, like, back, like, before that, I would have just been like, what is wrong with you? What do you need? Why are you being like this?
But yeah,
now I can, like, pick up on the signs and, yeah, like, yeah.
Yeah, I think it definitely helps you parenting in that sense. Or, like, for me, I feel like in my experience, like, I think that was kind of slowly when I started to pick up, like, little things with Gabe as well, and then coming into realization that I was like, oh, like, I'm actually really fucking impatient as a person. Like, I started, like, waiting in lines and, like, all these things, and, like, just other little things that I'm like, oh, I get it. Or, like, constantly, like, I bite my nails right down to the thing.
Mm.
He's biting his nails now, and I'm like, oh my God. Or, like,
yeah,
just all these other things.
Yeah, yeah. And you at least know, though, that you literally can't stop it. Like,
yeah.
And that is, and when you're biting your nail, it's not a great stim, but it's your way of, like, self-regulating yourself.
Yeah.
So you kind of just, like, yeah, you don't want him to do it, but you're like, I get it.
Yeah.
I get
that.
And I always say to Nakai, because he's always like, oh man, just, like, sit still, just do this. I'm like, this is you. Do you know? This is what you would have been like as a kid too. You just, the only difference is you're on your phone instead, or you're, like, doing something else.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So yeah.
Yeah. I think it definitely helps in that sense. Like, it's like I think about it, and it, I think it's like almost, I guess, because like even once Gabe started to have like big emotions and things, and it was like a reparenting journey for myself, that then I was, like, there's so many times I look at Gabe and I'm like, oh, this is what like I would have been like at your age without being like, I don't know, like shut down on emotions and feelings.
Yeah.
And so it's so wildly different because it's like you're almost parenting another version of yourself then as well on top of it and being like, oh, okay, well, yeah, it's like holding space for that smaller version of you that could have had that different experience in that. Like obviously our parents did the best with what they had at the time. Yeah. But yeah.
For sure. That's and then it kind of then it's almost like a grieving process too, because like what would I have been like if I had like me as a mom, like what would my life have been like?
Yeah it's
so I guess that's the good thing, we get to then parent how and like, and no one's perfect though, but like you get to parent how you feel like you should have been parented, and then
oh, I mean either way our kids will still probably be like, you did this we'll be like, mate, like I tried.
Yeah.
Next generation parent, like we did our best.
Yeah. My biggest worry these days, I'm like, what is the trauma that we're gonna put on our kids? And I'm like, is it gonna be because they're on our phones? Like, is that gonna be? I'm like, I actually say to the guy every day, but I still can't get it. Like, I'm not on it all the time, but I still sit on it around them. And I'm like, is that gonna be their trauma that we were just on our phones? Like we were just glued.
Yeah, I know.
Like, what is it?
Yeah, I've tried to definitely be more considerate of that in terms of things, but it's so just like you just get so caught up in it. I think it's the whole thing of like, maybe for us I feel like it was easier in terms of our generation growing up with technology, because we kind of got like the both ends of it, where it was like we were still out as kids doing like all these things, but also then like being 12 and being like, oh, like I get to go on MSN when I get home and like talk to all my friends, like
on that. I remember my computer was in my parents' room, because that was the only where the was it like the internet cable you had to plug it into? It was in their room, so I had to like go in there with this huge computer. Oh my god, those were the days though, wasn't it? And you'd like, you'd change your MSN name with the what you're listening to,
the little bio to your boyfriend at the time, for the week.
Oh, it was so much simpler, wasn't it? Didn't feel like it at the time, though.
I know. And then we want to grow up.
I know.
So I guess as well, getting back into it, are there any, I know you said, you kind of mentioned a little bit before, but so are there any practices for you then now, I guess, A, related to like, being neurodivergent that you kind of add into your life more so to make life better for yourself?
I kind of just, I'm more just like really, I just try to be more in tune with myself. So I just have to trust that gut feeling all the time now, instead of just pushing it to the side, because that's when a burnout normally happens. Just a lot of, trusting my gut. And I still do my spiritual practices. So I still do like my moon rituals and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But trying to just like really be present, which is not always easy when, you're neurodivergent, because anxiety is just like a big one that comes with that. But I find the good thing with being autistic is I have a very logical brain too, so I'm very like, oh well, I don't actually know if it's going to happen, so I'm going to be present and just think about now.
Yeah,
which definitely that helps. But it's just really like trusting my gut and knowing that when I shouldn't do something, just don't do it, like don't force myself. And
and holding compassion for yourself kind of as well.
Like just knowing that my brain's not like everyone else's, so it's okay to say no, and there's a reason for it, and if they don't understand, then that's okay. But luckily most of my friends are neurodivergent, so they're just whatever, that's totally
everyone
fine.
Gets it. I feel like for me in the last like few years or so, coming into like really deep connections with friends that like you were saying, like you don't have to mask around and that, and you like catch up and you're basically 14 year olds again, feels so nice, because it's like you don't have to worry you go into it, and even if you're both, your energy levels are like here, you're kind of like, you both can meet each other versus, or like help each other up there versus like when you go into it, into a friendship where you kind of feel like you have to like overperform in a way. And it's like, this
Yeah.
probably shouldn't be a thing for the behind you.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Sorry,
Yeah.
I guess,
Sure.
yeah, for you, like in support work now, does that lead and tie into, I guess, what you're passionate about at all, or?
Yeah, definitely. So, like, I started the support work before I fell pregnant with Marlo. And then I fell pregnant with her and I was a bit sick. So I stopped it, but I started again. But I've been doing it with neurodivergent people. So they've either got like mental health issues and they've all been autistic. But I love doing it because I just like, I want them to know that their life and how they do things is okay. Like the guy I have now, one of the clients, like, he tells me things and I'm like, you know, that's actually okay though. You don't have to like have this small talk with people. You don't have to do this because like if you don't feel comfortable with it, then that's all right. So yeah, I'm very passionate about trying to, especially like once the girls go to school, I can already tell I'm gonna try and push it, but hopefully by then it will be better. But just like adapting the world to us because there's so many neurodivergent people. That like there shouldn't be just one way to live, kind of. Yeah. So yeah, I love doing the support work because I like them knowing that it's totally okay how they are, and I think it also helps because I'm also one of them, so I can actually understand it. Like some support workers just do it because they like being support workers, but they're not, obviously they don't have the same brain, so they
I can
can't
understand
actually
what you mean.
understand. So they either take things personal or like they don't. They can't see the little things that would overstimulate someone, or whereas like I'm already feeling it, so I know exactly what's
Like, I'm there
going
with you. Yeah. I guess it's more that peer support work as well, right? Where it's like, say, people who are in like alcohol and drug programs or anything like that, where it's like they usually will get people who have come from a similar background because they able to have
Yeah.
that ability and understanding. So I think that's perfect in that sense. And like, yeah, beautiful in being able to normalize that for those people as well. And you know, like you're saying, like instilling and validating that for them, that it's like, this is your experience. And like, yeah, it might feel strange in according to typical ways of things, but actually there's a lot more people than we realize that are on this other side of thinking as well. And I think, yeah, rather than it being like neurotypical as such or this, that, whatever, like that it's like, okay, just realizing that it's like, yeah, our brains work different, sweet. Like,
Yeah, this is us.
what other ways can we go about it? And I
Yeah.
think as well, like one thing, it's funny when I look at like all my siblings and my family and that, and like I will be like to my parents and be like, you do realize that we all've got a all have ADHD. And they'll be like, no, you don't. Like, that's not a thing, rah, rah, rah. And it's like, it's very
That
interesting.
because you are that.
Literally, yeah. So it's, yeah, it's interesting, I think, to see like how much I feel like it's even more so normalized nowadays. And just comes from a place rather than like, I feel like when I went to school, like you'd have one kid in the class who you'd be like, oh, they have this or that. And like there was the little kid that was like couldn't sit still and whatever. It's like probably because they could have learnt in other ways better, like it just wasn't suited to them versus them, like, yeah, having the whole stigma attached. Well, I think it's really awesome in terms of like you putting that message out there and even this as well. Like I feel like it's just another play in other people's journey because they might not be at that stage of acceptance. They might be like at the very start and feeling like, oh, like, does this mean I'm different, vice versa, and things like that. So I think that's awesome that you can be in that space to do that as well.
Which I know, like, yeah, when I got diagnosed, I definitely. Now I'm open about it. Like I still get funny though when I think about joining the workforce. I'm like, do I want them to know that I am autistic and ADHD? Like, are they going to think that I'm not capable? Which I'm very capable. If anything, I'm probably going to do things better.
Yeah, it's like just give me the right work to hyper focus on and they buy me your
I
best
can
worker
literally
there.
look at aspect of what you're going to give me and probably shortcut it. So,
Yeah.
but
I
yeah,
would.
it's still there. Definitely, still is that stigma around it. But that's why I also do love doing the support work because I'm like, I'm in a field where I can tell them that I'm just like one of them and they will accept that because they know that, like, yeah, you still are capable of doing things. And yeah, it's
perspective. Yeah. So I guess as well, I wanted to then ask you, what are, it doesn't have to be five things, it can just be some things off the top of your head, but what kind of are you passionate about within your life at the moment, and what makes you feel joy within your life when you think about those things or do things? And that can be simple practices or it can be like other topics.
Let me have a think.
Like what really resonates and resounds, I guess, for you?
Living my truth is definitely one of them. Like just being true to myself.
Yeah.
And not trying to like mold myself into what I think I should be. And so I am like just, yeah, living my authentic self. Surrounding myself as well with lots of like-minded people, because like, yeah, when you're neurodivergent, you already feel like that little bit more lonely. So when you finally find your people, that definitely, like my friends have changed everything, but that's been great. Definitely as well, like the sharing the awareness thing, that like it's not really a practice, but I guess it kind of is, like, yeah, but like letting, yeah, speaking my truth, letting people know. And then, yeah, I don't really know what else.
All right. When it came to your, making more friends and that side of things, the ones that you're close with now, were they like friends that you made through, like, I guess being a mum and having the kids as well that you're closer with, or where did that kind of come about in finding those connections for you?
I got very lucky there. I kind of had to step out of my comfort zone though. But so we all listened to this same podcast and then we followed them on Instagram. And at that point I had moved and I had like this little baby and no friends. So I was like, well, I had some because Nakai was playing at the football club then. So I had like the football girls, but they're just not my people. I've got some are my people, but yeah, they just weren't. And I just knew that, and I was like, I was really stuck. So on Instagram, and the podcast had posted about finding other mum friends.
Yeah.
And I was like, I would never post on there. Like, I'm never going to say, oh, I want mum friends too.
Yeah.
But then one of my friends actually said, oh, I'm from Brisbane. And I saw other people were saying like, oh, me too. And then I was like, you know what? I think I can say me too. I can do that. So then I did that. And then they did like a big group inbox on Instagram and like a group chat, and nothing ever really came of that, because I feel like massive group things, like it never really evolves into anything.
Eventuates properly.
it was very surface level, like nothing really happening. And then one of the other girls ended up making like a side one for the people that were like in our area. And then, yeah, that's how I met my really good friends. And then it turns out that the ones that have all stuck together, so a few drifted off, and like some we were just like, oh, we're not really. We had to come to terms. They just weren't our people. Like for the time it was, like when we all had babies and we're all going through the same thing. But then we got older and then it was more of like an actual friendship.
Yeah.
So some ended up like drifting off. But yeah, then I found my friends. And then once I got diagnosed and I was saying all this stuff and I was sending them, there's a podcast called Neurodivergent Women, I think.
Okay.
And I was like, you guys gotta listen to this. And after I listened to it, they're like, oh, Chris, what the hell? I'm pretty sure I'm autistic. And like, it all just like, after then we all got stuck in the podcast. But yeah, so it just worked out really good that my friends that I had made here were also just really like-minded like me. Because it's, like making friends at this age isn't easy.
It's definitely, I think it's like, unless you kind of have some like hobby or some like particular interest in things as well, it's then for finding like events further on from there to then be able to but also then putting yourself outside your comfort zone is like another thing within that.
I In Geelong, I found it was easier because I don't know if because it's a small town and I don't know, it just felt easier, like
Yeah.
meeting other people. But then here it's like huge, and I don't know if people are stuck in their way of like, oh, I don't know. And also being a mum, I didn't have time to be going to like yoga things or meditation groups or
Yeah.
like all
Like,
those.
both my arms, kids in tow, like, we're gonna go, here we are.
Yeah.
How much, and I think the hardest part as well is like when you're a mum and like making mum friends, it's like you either really click straight off the bat, or like
Yeah.
otherwise, like if you have to have small talk while you've got toddlers running around, it's just like, no, sorry.
Oh, I know.
Like,
Yeah, because and you also like you check out that many times, like you'll have a conversation. Sometimes after my like catch up with my friends, we're like, did we even talk? Like I know we've talked, but what did we even talk about?
about 5 minutes of conversation in total over an hour.
Yeah, literally. And then it's like breaking up fights or
Yeah.
well, my kid definitely is always breaking up some kind of fight or something.
I know, I know. Share the same toy. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I had
Oh.
a few friends over, two of my friends yesterday. And so we had seven kids here all between us. And then it was just like we were trying to have one conversation about one thing that took about 10 minutes at least by the time we got to the end of it. And then we circled back around into like five, six other conversations
Yeah.
before, regardless. So it was just like chaos, but we all get each other. So we love it.
Yeah. See, that's why you need to find your people because you can just do that and then not be like, what were we talking about? Or what was happening? Like, you
Yeah.
just.
Yeah. And then you catch up, and like yesterday, like that was a thing. And they're both like, two single, oh well, one's kind of partly thing now, but we're single moms. And like, yeah, we caught up. We're like, parenting this way together is so much better than versus like, I called one of them in the morning, was like, I'm going into a bit of a like mind spiral this morning because I don't really want to get out of the house, but I know I need to like see an
Yeah.
adult. So, and it was like, oh, that sense of like peace within afterwards. So, I mean, yeah,
Yeah.
finding those connections, I think, is like, especially probably in motherhood as well, to feel supported and be able to like message a friend and be like, this is fucked right
Yeah.
now. Like,
It can be like, I know, like it's
yeah.
you
And
love
then
them,
also be
but
like, oh my God, they're so cute 5 minutes later. And you're just like, what is life? But
yeah.
yeah, I think it's definitely one of those things that make all the more impact in like just being supported along your journey as well.
Yeah, and the guys just start talking in the back there. I'm like, you're really distracting me.
That's all right.
He'll be able to hear me too.
So yeah, if you so what is I'd love to finish basically on what are a few things that you do for yourself?
Yeah, so me, I'm
That's all
just gonna move into the bed. Distracted me way too much. All right,
right.
there
Okay.
we go. All right,
Cool.
we're good. I've got the phone on like this tripod thing, so I didn't have to hold it, but
Oh, how sweet.
maybe might fall, but
I mean, that's right.
that'll
Yeah, okay. So, and then basically to kind of come to finishing this up, I would love to know just some practices that you do for yourself just to tap back into your feeling like into your truth or yourself or that just connect you back to feeling more.
So I always, yeah, I love my moon rituals, which I find is good because like each month, or is it twice a month? So yeah, twice a month.
Yeah.
Or when I remember. But it's like I get that time to just like stop and really look inside and see what like how I'm feeling or what I want to achieve kind of thing,
Yeah.
or what I want to manifest. So yeah, I love doing that, and I just honestly giving myself that downtime as well, which I've realized is such a huge thing that I need, like actually resting, which yeah isn't always easy, but I get
It
only lock myself in the room and that's all, but that's what I gotta do, that's what I gotta do. But yeah, I've just really at this moment, I've just been trying to really like tap into how I'm actually feeling instead of like, I find like the ego as well just always takes over and makes me think, oh, this is what I should like, especially if you're on TikTok or Instagram, it's like, this is what I should be doing. This is like, I should be achieving this. But sometimes, and I think that's what I want, But then when I really sit there, I'm like, no, that's just me, like my ego being like, you should be like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just really, yeah, trying to be present and tapping into myself. So I'm like living true to myself, because like I guess like my whole life I haven't really done that without realizing. So now I just, the whole unmasking process is to just be present and know, yeah, what I need and what I got to do.
Yeah, and be like, what's actually me? What's the information I'm consuming? And I think especially as well, like when you're neurodivergent, like TikTok and all that is like great for things, but then also it's like, why am I like an hour deep into how to sew a thing when like,
yeah, literally, that's literally me at the moment.
I tried to re-thread a sewing machine after 30 minutes. I got angry and I haven't touched it in another year. So
I actually started sewing. That's actually one thing I have been doing too. That's another practice. I've been trying to be like more crafty and like being, yeah, because I used to love doing art stuff, but then I guess you have a kid and then you stop doing that. But
yeah.
I started sewing, and it took me like nearly all night. I knew what I was doing, but I didn't really, like, first I had the bobbin wrong, and then I had the tension wrong, and then I'd nearly finished, and then I ran out of string, and then I was googling at 11 o'clock at night in bed. I was like, okay, what am I doing wrong? And then I was like, I think I've threaded it wrong. And then I realized I had, and I was like, Nicole, I just need to get up, I need to finish this so I can go to sleep.
He's like, so we're married now, okay,
like, yeah. And I got it, and I was like, all right, now first thing in the morning I'm going to Spotlight.
I think it's interesting as well when you take time, like, so over the Christmas and New Year's break, I ended up taking a bit of time off social media and just allowing more space for my creativity, and was reading a book on it as well. And it was so interesting because it was like, I think then even how creativity is like more related into like neurodivergent brains and like how it all works. And I was like, oh, like this even all makes more sense as well.
But yeah, it definitely, like, it's like, I guess that, like an outlet to express how you're feeling too. So,
yeah, express the creativity in it.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I guess another thing.
Yeah, go.
Which you're probably the same. Like, I feel like the worst part is though, when you're trying to be creative, and you're just like, I'm trying to just like let it not be perfect. Like the hardest part of it all. I feel like I'm just like, if it's not perfect the first time, I want to give up. But now I'm like, it's like I've been scrapbooking too. And I look at all these other people, I'm on Pinterest, like, oh, look at this scrapbook. Look at this. Yeah. And I'm like, I just needed to like be me. Like, I just put what I want down. Like, it doesn't have to look like this Instagram perfect scrapbook page.
Oh, I feel that. Like, for me, I'm like, I need to paint more because I love painting and it switches me out and off so much. But then for me, I'm like, I get inspired by like art that I find obviously really nice, and then I try to like bring those elements of things in. And I'm like, but it doesn't look, why does it look like I've painted a flower in kinder versus
But then also, if you saw someone else do that, you'd probably be like, oh, I love this. Like, this is crazy.
I know. Or it's like when you watch like artist TikToks on things of their painting and their canvas throughout the way through, and you're like, oh, I could do that. And then you do it. You're like, oh, no. Not it. Oh,
yeah. Brain thinking we can do anything though, which is great.
I love the diversity of it and like backing myself in it. I mean, it works for me in some things, but oh god. All right, well, thank you so much for coming on today. I'm very excited to share our podcast episode. Yes. My brain's not working by the end of it.
I'm talking smoke alarm.
That smoke alarms, coughing, like we're good to go. I'm wearing Christmas colours, so
I just realised that we're the
I did.
I saw that at the start. I was like, I'm wearing a red singlet. You got a green singlet. Maybe just bring this out at Christmas time.
We can make festive spirit 1 year on.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And I'm sure we'll end up back here at some stage again.
Yeah, thank you for having me here.
Oh, good. Thank you.